Welcome back, everyone, to our Red Spotlight reaction commentary series for one of our favorite shows of all time, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Of course, this is made for the longtime Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fan that wants to come back on here and talk endlessly about one of our favorite shows ever. Last time, of course, we did take a week or two off. There was a lot of things that got in the way. There's a lot of other things to get to, but finally we're back here and we're going to discuss the second half of this mid-season finale, the end of season 3A, Maaveth. All of the roads this season have led here. Of course, the last episode was pretty seismic with everyone really getting the knives out for Ward, and rightfully so after he murdered Rosalyn the way that he did. Probably one of the most shocking deaths the show has ever had, especially with how it was executed and how it kind of just was designed to catch us off guard the way that it did. Terrible, terrible stuff. Anyway, today, as I mentioned before, we're talking about the 10th episode of Season 3 called Maaveth. This was written by Jeffrey Bell, one of the EPs here of the show, and directed by Vincent Misiano. This, of course, was broadcast on December 8th, 2015 on ABC to 3.85 million viewers. Of course, our returning cast includes Clark Gregg, Ming-Na Wen, Brett Dalton, Chloe Bennett, Ian DeCastaker, Elizabeth Henstridge, Nick Blood, Adrian Palicki, Henry Simmons, and Luke Mitchell. And of course, our guest appearances by Powers Booth. As Gideon Malik, Constance Zimmer as Rosalind Price, Mark Takaskas as Guerra, Dylan Casey as Will Daniels, Blair Underwood as Andrew Garner, and Juan Pablo Raba as Joey Gutierrez. Some little bit of tidbit information here from the page that I am reading off of. From composer Bear McCreary, worked with a larger orchestra than usual for Maaveth, a 90-piece orchestra rather than the usual 50 or 70 players required for the series. The score was recorded at the Newman Scoring Stage on the 20th Century Fox lot on the Saturday after Thanksgiving. McCreary called the episode a crossroads between old and new storylines. At least a half dozen important musical themes were incorporated throughout the episode, including two new themes I introduced to represent new characters. There's a particular theme that is introduced for the first time on this episode that's going to be used throughout the rest of the series. And I'll point it out to you when we get there, but it's actually this one of the best pieces of music that Bear did. It's basically the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. theme, but basically a new rendition of it that's kind of like an epic, more climactic version of it. I think it's Across Dark, but I don't know what the actual name of the theme music is, but it is a new motif that is going to be used for highly dramatic moments on the show. And I'll point it out to you once we get there, but it's definitely one of my favorite renditions of it's the S.H.I.E.L.D. theme. It's just a new rendition of it, but I think it's definitely a memorable one. And it, to me, you can definitely tell it was very different than the other pieces of music because you noticed it more. And I remember watching this episode, and I'm like, whoa, what is this music? And apparently it turns out they did have a full orchestra for it, which makes obviously a much fuller sound and a much richer sound. So with that all being said, let's go ahead and begin this week with some comments that we received from last time. David, what comments do we have today?
We got three. First one's...
We got three? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, one of them's not in the actual
episode. Yeah, I noticed that one too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, first one's from Gary Marshall. This episode shows the two sides of Grant Ward, the version he thinks he is, telling Gemma he would never hurt her, and the real version. Torturing Gemma after getting angry at Coulson. Roll on the next episode where absolutely nothing happens. And then next one's from Serenity. Season 3 is so good. Coulson and Roz getting the Giles and Jenny treatment from Buffy. Oh, never mind. The reviewer guy mentioned it. Oh. Ward. Hey, you can't trick me into following you like Garrett did. Gideon. Right. Wouldn't dream of it. Little buddy proceeds to trick him into leading instead. Ward is a ridiculous human being. Never send a boy to do a man's job, but it honestly never occurred to me that I should try sending a young woman, says the man who has a pretty intelligent daughter, Stephanie Malik. Can't remember the character.
Oh, Yeah, we'll meet her in a couple of episodes.
Okay,
yeah. But it is an interesting point. Never occurred to me to sending a young woman. Well, yeah, that I can understand the point that Serenity here is bringing up here. I think more to the point, maybe Malik was trying to say he wouldn't send a young woman. Well, he wouldn't send his daughter.
Yeah.
I don't know. It is an interesting line to point out there. And then go ahead.
Mac immediately turns to Toolbox Hologram Coulson when he's director in season 6 too, given how self-righteous he is. It's an interesting through line.
Through line.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something else I noticed as well with Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when we get to that season.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then also,
what was it? Gideon tricking Ward into becoming a leader or like following him, basically. I like the way they went about it, though. Like, I just think that's a way cooler version of like a villain to do that.
I don't think Serenity is critiquing that, though.
No,
I don't
think
she's or they. I'm sorry. I don't think Serenity is critiquing that how it was handled. I think they're critiquing how ridiculous Ward is, mm-hmm. because really, I mean, yes, Gideon was coming from a genuine place, I think, of like what it means to him. And I think he was being genuine when he said that he wanted to share the moment with somebody. But that doesn't change the fact that to an extent, yes, Gideon was manipulating him. And Ward kind of fell for it again. Now, I think it's two things at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yes, once again, Ward was manipulated by, I guess, a mentor figure of some sort. But this kind of manipulation almost it feels more like there's a genuine purpose to it. Even though, of course, this is Ward we're talking about here. So it's not, the logic is not really going to track 100% here through. I think ultimately it's like what Serenity was pointing out is that Gideon is a real tough customer, as they say. And he was basically able to get his way. We saw the scene and it was a very convincing scene. And Gideon, the way that he was talking about it was like, this is a big fucking deal. That's what he was trying to do. And Ward obviously was the one. Ward had wanted nothing to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it ended up costing his life for the most part because, like, he ended up going to the portal. And, of course, we all know that he dies in this episode. So, it's interesting how Serenity worded it here because it is technically true. Yes, Ward is a ridiculous person. And, yes, Ward did get manipulated again. But in some weird way, there still was this genuine sense of purpose to embracing this idea that Gideon was selling. Even though Gideon himself is a Hydra, fascist, Nazi, piece of shit person, that was his own effed up way, I guess, of being genuine, basically. David?
I agree. I didn't really think it also that Serena was critiquing it. I just want to point out, like, I love the way Gideon about it. It's really cool. The last comment, it was from Jack Dubs under our Who Really Broke the MCU little clip that he put. Jack Dubs put, recanonizing AOS will fix all the MCU's problems. At this point, though, I don't want S.H.I.E.L.D. anywhere near the MCU, though.
That's the thing, Jack Dubs. First of all, if anyone hasn't seen, like, we have, of course, a bunch of podcasts that we do, our main show, but we understand that they're too long for too many people. It's about, the average podcast that we do is about 2.5 hours long. So in the last 2 weeks, we have been releasing shorts on YouTube Shorts, and evidently it's been getting a lot more attention than obviously a 2.5 hour podcast would be. So if you are ever curious to dip your toes into the kind of topics that we discuss on our shows, go over to the YouTube Shorts on this page, on obviously YouTube, on our Red Spotlight page, and you're going to see, I think, a good sampling of what it is that we talk about. And Jack Dubs clearly did that, on one of the MCU shorts that I released about, like, what was it? Who really booked the MCU? Is that what was it was titled?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And yeah, I think you're going to get nothing but complete agreement from everybody here on this dais that, like, yeah, it was a monumental mistake to not include Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at all, but clearly a lot more when it was airing and during the peak of the MCU. Very clearly, unfortunately for most people, at the time, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was not seen as a success, even though it did last 7 years, seven seasons, at a time in which the industry of television was changing and seven-season shows were becoming rapidly and increasingly impossible. But during its life as an active piece of television, most of the populace, including Marvel Studios themselves, saw no reason to associate or affiliate themselves with something that was known as a joke. The writers of Avengers Infinity War, Marcus and McFeely, even had a slight dig at it during their audio commentary of Infinity War when they were, like, joking, but not really, when they said that, oh, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will have a whole episode talking about what happened to Obsidian Skull's hand or whatever. It was not just an ongoing joke from the people like John Campia on the interwebs that would cover the MCU. It was an ongoing joke within Marvel as well. They looked down on it. And you don't have to really have this be validated by anybody within the studio because they've... How many? 37 movies now. 15, 16, 17, 18 years since Iron Man. There have been plenty of times where anything happening in the universe could have gone out of its way to connect with S.H.I.E.L.D., and at every turn, they didn't do it. I think personally, they mostly went by ignoring it up until WandaVision when they introduced a separate Darkhold. That's the point where they were like, well, we went this long ignoring it. Now we're just going to flat out introduce things that go against what was happening in the show. And I'm not saying necessarily that there's another Darkhold contradicts what happens on the continuity of the show. But yes, it was a colossal mistake. And it was, I think, an even bigger mistake for Feige not to recognize the talent behind this show specifically. And if they had just snatched up everybody involved in this show, from the writing to the producing to the production of it, to everything, everybody, all the talent involved on this show, if they were scooped up and made the heads of the new Marvel TV for Disney Plus, Feige would not be in the problems that we are in right now, because those people, you know, Jedmo, they would have released good shows and they would have made great Marvel storytelling, as they have already been doing for 7 years. Feige chose not to do that and instead destroyed that entire division and split up the output of his Marvel Studios, half TV shows, half movies, but it was still just the same team and him at the top making all the decisions. So yes, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. not involving themselves into the show or appreciating the talent involved in the show is one of the fatal mistakes that the MCU, that Kevin Feige made. I'm tired of people talking about this as, oh, the MCU this or the MCU this. The MCU is not a person. The person in charge of the MCU is Kevin Feige making all of those decisions. And people need to be clear, the same way that we destroy, we collectively in this community, not me, myself, but we don't say Disney, Star Wars, we're going to say Kathleen Kennedy, Kathleen this, Kathleen that. We got to start saying Kevin this, Kevin that. Because you look at the numbers right now for Fantastic Four and how pitiful they are. That is Kevin Feige's fault. But to David's point, do you really even want to be affiliated with the MCU at this point? I have said, look, despite everything that I've just said, it is because Kevin Feige let Jed Whedon and Marissa Tancharoen and Jeffrey Bell alone. They were able to not every year have to sacrifice whatever story they were telling to tie into whatever movie was coming out, whatever month or whatever year. It is because Feige was not involved at all in this show is why it's great as it is. And I don't know, maybe they will incorporate the characters. Maybe we might see Daisy Johnson in the background in Secret Wars. Will that be cool? Sure. Will I celebrate that? Yeah. Do I really want the canon of this show to be brought into the MCU now, where it's kind of been middling and failing for the last couple of years? I mean, if they announce a revival of any kind, it would really have to be with the original people. But I would not want Kevin Feige at all anywhere close to it, because every revival they've done, it's been terrible. Unless they bring it back on ABC and Feige is like hands off, but I don't think a division exists any longer for Marvel properties to be come out and not have Feige's singular involvement in it. So no, I would not want that unless some specific circumstances would have to be made for that to exist. Yeah, it. Once upon a time, maybe. Maybe I would have been okay with that. Now, I think it's going to take a lot more convincing to even attempt such a thing. But yeah, that's kind of where my head is at with that particular kind of question.
Yeah, that's all though.
Yeah. All right then. Well, with everything else being out of the way, let's go ahead and get started with our episode. Let's go ahead and press play in 3, 2, 1, and go. You see, on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Oh my God. They had to do it again. We didn't have to see that again. I think up until this point, this was very easily the most excited or exciting mid-season finale of the show. Because it really does feel like where the other ones did feel like mid-season finales with the scale of this episode, just the fact that we're on another planet again, we're back on Mavith. Look how good this looks, by the way. This looks really good. This really does feel, and I think the show even treated it as a season finale, more than just a mid-season finale. But I'm just looking at this and I'm like, first of all, man, I've missed watching the show. I cannot believe we took like a week off. Mm-hmm. Not by choice, obviously, but this looks really good.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not even sure, like, gosh. I'm sorry, but that looked better than some of the Marvel movies recently. Like, look at this. And it's not the most amazing thing ever, but like this, legitimately, I buy that we're on an alien planet.
Mm-hmm.
Fitz, look, you have to commend Fitz for what he was trying to do there. It was a really nice try. But you know, this is why we have to really commend also the show for growth. Season 5 Fitz probably would have succeeded and could have shot Ward there on the spot.
Oh, yeah.
Fitz ain't there yet, but it's little baby steps like this that will get us to that point. By the way, people, for those of you who are watching and are not familiar with television, this is what TV does best. Yeah. Fitz right there already proving, well, not proving, but just like seeing like, yeah, Ward, I already know what Fitz already knows that Ward's been told a tall tale. And he's laughing at him in that moment, which was like, and Ward was a little bit like, wait, what? But then this happens and you're like, and you, the detail that I like there is like some of the Hydra soldiers like literally fell to their knees. Cause like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
This shit's real? Like the Hydra symbol is on an alien planet. So it's like, it's one of these things where it's like, remember in Boy and the Heron, where the parrot king or whatever, with played by Dave Bautista, brings his two underlings into, I guess, what heaven is with Mark Hamill's character, the king or whatever. And then the two parakeets are like, is this what heaven is? Oh my God, it's so beautiful. You may not remember that scene, but it's like toward the end of the movie, but it's just like that. Although, of course, this is Hydra. And I love how Hunter is just like, yeah, I was about to do that cool thing that Coulson did too, but they beat me to it. Because it so would have been Hunter's go-to to just jump out the same way that Coulson did, but story decisions went against that.
Mac art director.
Yeah. This is the first time I think we're seeing everybody together on this set. The main control room of the Zephyr. The silence.
Yes.
And this is every episode. See?
Mm-hmm.
Not bad. Not bad. It's just able to clear that up pretty quickly. He's not perfect. Obviously, every leader of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be flawed, but he comes across as a guy that's just going to find his way through it as best as he can. And he does have natural qualities to him that make him a great selection to lead. That isn't to say that there aren't drawbacks, but you see the vision for it right here. It's really unsettling. Man, Fitz is pissed. This episode, he's just like, he's literally just dropping nothing but bars this episode. It's just like, really, Ward? I already know that you're being played here. And then also, whose idea was it to go to another planet and summon a hell beast. I wonder how that's going to go. Thank you for somebody on the show stating the obvious. All the while, of course, Fitz is unknowing, unbeknownst to the rest of them, led them to the exact coordinates where Simmons and Will were living. There it is.
Do you remember how suspicious were you when they found him?
Not initially.
Hmm.
Not initially. I think there were clues that were dropped in the following scenes.
I can't remember myself. If I was, I'm pretty sure I was like, I don't think it's going to be him or what.
I wasn't immediately questioning. I wasn't immediately like, why is he there? It was just like, well, where else would he be? Mm-hmm. It didn't, at this point, it didn't like cross my mind. But then at the same time, wait a minute. Didn't he? No, but you know what it is? It's like, the last time we saw him, he walked away and the sun came up for a little bit. So it does leave it out there for it to be totally plausible that somehow he was able to walk away unscathed. Although when you really, really think about what happened, there's no way that would happen.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't think about that until, oh my God, this line here. I love Coulson always bringing in a Star Wars reference. That's one of my favorite lines of the whole show. Because I mean, what else do you say? Later on this season, there's another Star Wars reference brought into it, which is like maybe all timer until another one in season 5 that I think most people know of. But no, David, I can't remember. I think it must have been. I'll tell you right now where things look weird for me. I mean, looking back on it, would Will really stay silent mm-hmm. during an exchange like this?
That's true.
He's just staring at him, saying nothing. He's letting Fitz do all the talking, and I'm like,
You can say, you can probably say, like, say that the creature is like processing all the information, trying to
look at that. Look wait at, look for what he did.
Yeah.
That was a genuine funny moment there for a while.
No, yeah.
That did.
Yeah, he definitely should be more, you know, excited to be leaving. Even be like
vocal at least. Yeah. He's hardly vocal at all.
Mm-hmm. Like the second they show up, he's just been like, oh, you guys are here for me. Like, let's go. Let's go.
He, It kind of comes across like, by the way, this line here, what was it? Mac called them the Power Rangers.
Yeah.
And then Daisy had this look of like, really? Did you just call us that? Even though just very quick, if you miss it, that situation.
Dang.
Also, this exchange right here with May, Lincoln, and they're going to be hiding behind some rocks here. May, Lincoln, and Joey. Joey's like freaking his shit out. And May legit just like, again, there's a lot of really good laughs right here in this exchange. And then I'll get back to Will in a minute. May legit cannot be bothered to care sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I love how she said that without even the slightest bit of like sass or smile on her face. She's just like, I'm not. Mm-hmm. Anyway, with what's it called? With Will, like he's just silent and studying. It's like almost, if you remember, one of the last Doctor Who specials we had, the Blue Yonder or whatever, and a lot of those duplicates were just like studying the language, and then they were just like assuming it.
Also, him just saying sacrifices. I don't think he knew that at all.
Exactly. And then also Hydra, that's an old name. I doubt Will. There are plenty of people that right there when he said you're bleeding, his attraction to blood, another clue right there. But when he said Hydra, that's an old name.
Wait, Will.
Not talking about like 1930s, but yeah.
Will said that? That's an old name?
Or? Will said that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Then yeah.
That's Will said one. Hydra, that's an old name.
Well, I guess you can say it can be both. You know, old name, picking back in World War II.
Yeah.
It's like he could be believing, like, why is Hydra back? You know, I thought they were done since World War II or something like that. It can work for both, mm-hmm. That one.
But it also stands to reason that the Hydra name, Hydra called themselves Hydra before the Nazis even got started because, at least I think, I want to say in season 7, when we have the other Malik, Wilfred Malik, and how he gets his start in Hydra, he ends up delivering, I think, super soldier serum. And that was like the early 1930s. But I guess you could say that was a little bit before World War II, but I don't know. The timeline, it's hard to be exact here, but I'm not sure. I'm trying to say if Hydra always had that name or if the name started with Red Skull. But we know that the order that the Maleks belong to is much older than that. Oof. See, what would you do in this situation? Like, what choice do you really have?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's one of the themes that Barrett talked about. That was the Lash theme. Maybe he re-recorded it with the full orchestra there. It did sound a bit more fuller if you listen to it closely.
I was focusing on the
dun, 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 dun.
I was focusing on the blasts. I'm killing in the in the screaming. Yeah. And but then I was also thinking, like, why did Gemma? I mean, I understand why she ran away because of Lash and all that, but what he does later on. She kind of should have stayed and be like, leave those alone. Focus on Hydra.
But that's the thing, though. Would Lash listen?
I mean, I know he killed those soldiers, but he doesn't kill humans. That's the thing.
He did kill the soldiers of the ATCU in the last couple of episodes, too.
Well, that's because they attacked him, though. That's the thing. If it's attacking him, her... I just don't think he would have attacked her at all.
What could Gemma realistically do, though? Could she have talked him down?
I really don't know. I would have liked it, though, if she tried, at the very least.
Okay. That's another clue.
I mean, yeah, you were guessing, dude. He's really not used to the field still, huh? Like he's been going to the field with Daisy and all that, but I'm pretty sure he just lets Daisy do whatever she wants, but that's a different dynamic for him. So I kind of like that.
Yeah. Guerra is very dangerous. Like, this right here, that could have been the end of Daisy. Was he gonna kill him? Was that just about to happen? Like,
I think so.
Oh, yeah. I forgot Coulson was here.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
It's like with all this going on. You know what's interesting? That they tied all those people up. Well, maybe some are dead, but it's funny because I'm pretty sure the castle gets destroyed and then they all get crushed to death anyway.
Mm.
The Hydra people that, like, did they tie everybody up? Or I don't think they did. Some of them are just dead, I think.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
Whoever.
Not that it matters. Yeah. But the point is they're all going to be dead anyway at the end of the episode.
It was all bullshit, honestly. Like, you get one conversation with Gideon, and all of a sudden you feel like,
and then,
what's the word?
And also the thing he saw, the Hydra thing.
Yeah, yeah, that too. But like, he feels enlightened. That's what I was trying to think of. Enlightened.
Yeah, enlightened. Yeah. Look at Coulson's face. Yeah.
Yeah. That's just all bullshit. That's the thing though too. It's like, is he actually saying this because he feels that way, or if he's just trying to like pass time, come up with a plan or something? It's
probably both.
Mm.
which is this right here is a very important scene because it brings back some pretty huge threads from season two, because it was never really established what was the danger of the monolith back in that season. And Lincoln was just like, well, your mother, Jianying, was afraid of that thing for a reason. And then Bobby was like, when S.H.I.E.L.D. fell, we had orders from Fury to make sure Hydra didn't get their hands on this, because maybe Fury might have known about what Hydra was going to do. Whatever, whether or not Fury knew or not, this is really a cool way to bring back those two through lines from the last season into this moment. And you only, up until now, you realize no one's had all the information. People have had bits and pieces of the information, but now we're all here. Jesus, man. Mm-hmm.
I love that response though too. It's just like, it's almost like he wants to be like, dude, just chill, we're not gonna move, okay, so get over it. May doesn't really get a chance to beat Director, right? Like, at any moment? I don't remember.
Who?
May. Like, not even like a temporary moment? I really can't remember.
We've seen her be in charge of the base when Gonzalez puts her in charge, when Coulson's out trying to get away from Gonzalez. That's, but like officially, no. Then look at this.
Oh, yes.
This is new. Mm-hmm. You're like, wait, what?
Yeah. That's a cool reveal, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not going to work. I mean, you gotta find something else.
So good. And I'm still getting like chills from it. Like, oh my God, what's gonna happen?
Yeah. Here's the music, I think, or the beginning of it, of the piece I was talking about earlier. is a big moment for Coulson, because you would never think that he would do something like this. But they do a really good job of honestly justifying it and really, to a large extent, an extremely large degree, Ward deserves this. Mm. And the show really went out of its way to really make us feel like what he did to Rosalind was the last straw.
Yeah.
So, like, there's no second guessing this. But you also know that while what Coulson did in this moment is right, you just know at some point, because of what's happening here, it's going to come back to haunt him. And I think he even says that. And he's going to grapple with it as he should, because he's just not that kind of person. So it's a big step for him to do something like this. And you best believe there is going to be a lesson learned the hard way, as a matter of fact. And I think it may even weigh on him to a degree that, even though it's not said, maybe it factors into his ultimate decision of him stepping down as director. Of course, he wants an Inhuman to lead the charge, and that doesn't get his way. And that happens in between seasons 3 and 4. Now, that's not the reason ultimately why he steps down, but maybe it could be one of the ones that's left unspoken as to why that happens. But we will see that come to fruition in a bit. I love this piece. It's really also key who they all go to. Matt goes to his closest friends, Bobby and Hunter. Daisy goes to Lincoln. Gemma instinctively goes over to see if Will is there. Obviously doesn't see him there. And this is the first time we actually see them embrace each other, Lincoln and Daisy, as I guess this is officially official now, because they're just doing it out in the open. No one gives a fuck, though. I mean, we all could have called. Like, everyone's just like, yeah, we knew this was happening. Of course, May goes over to Coulson. And what a really tender moment, because she's been through it. And of course, this just breaks me. God. And then this last look here of, yeah, that fucking happened, huh? Because they literally just crossed over the portal back to Earth and then flew out of an exploding castle. Like, just a normal day at S.H.I.E.L.D., as Huntry would say.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, yeah. Malik's a little pissed right now. How this happens, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't really, I mean, he's an inhuman god, right? So I guess he can stretch the rules there, but you know, ultimately it doesn't matter, but does it make any sense? Not really.
I mean,
we need a story, right?
It kind of does, because the amount of time for Mac, like all of them, from the portal to the chamber, whatever.
Containment module.
It had to be some time. It had to be a couple, like a minute or two, you know? Now,
right.
The amount of time for the Hydra being to go to War's body and then, you know, taking control of it, going through the portal itself. I don't even know if he even had enough time to go through the portal, because it was only a minute. It's a bit of a stretch. I think if they've, you know, put in 2-3 minutes for the portal to stay open, would have worked better. But it's really just the timing of how long the portal
stays open. Here's a question. Even if the Hive Ward got out of the portal as the castle was exploding, well, do you think he was able to get out of the castle before it exploded too?
That's the other thing. I don't think so. If he had came out more banged up, you know, maybe just more parts of his face got loose. Maybe he lost a limb or two, like an arm.
Yeah.
That would have made more sense. You know, he had to crawl out of the rubble or something, you know? But it doesn't seem like it.
Yeah. Anywho, let's go ahead and go over to Ami.
Oh, Will's been dead. He died saving Gemma. So he died that very same day that she went back. And this thing has just been living inside of him and using him as this husk. The moment we saw their civilizations, okay, I was thinking one of two things there towards the end, because the thought did cross my mind because of that astronaut suit scene last time we saw this thing, last time we encountered it, that it could at least inhabit or influence physical objects in some way, shape, or form like that. So I think it was, I read that then as it like kind of puppeteering the corpse of his comrades that long since died there or whatever, or maybe his essence or whatever it was just filled the suit. I don't know, because we didn't know what it looks like or what it physically is. I was wondering if they were going to almost make it out and last second it was going to infect Will. But no, it had already done that.
That would have worked better.
Already. And it knew how to get here and knew what Will knew because it absorbed that knowledge. And it does, more than even Will would know, knows its way around this place. And then it once it started spouting off the histories of this place, that's what it was like. The alarm bell started going off in my head. The reveal was so well done. But then they managed to burn Will's body, pop him down, and then they left Ward for dead. I mean, he would have been dead. Coulson crushed his chest cavity in. That was metal. But this thing squiggled up his butt and is now revived him. Now I'm wondering, because I don't feel like this is going to be permanent. Like I've said before, I wholly feel like, and it's not uncommon in these types of shows, especially like this, when you have like a recurring, not even a recurring character, he's a main character, main cast member. They'll find ways to keep him relevant until, I mean, who knows, maybe the actor asks for a raise or whatever, leaves. There's a whole number of things, or maybe they very well could kill off one of these characters. It's just usually, it's not bound to happen, and I feel like Ward is going to be one of those characters. He's just like gum on a shoe, man. He, you step on in the parking lot and it just takes, you just don't get rid of it. It is a bitch to get rid of. And I feel like he's going to be one of those things that we are just stuck with till the very end. So I don't know if they will find a way to exorcise him of this entity, maybe by the end of the season or next. I don't know how long this is going to last. Season 4 is the Ghost Rider season, so I imagine the supernatural element kind of creeps in by that point. So maybe they're, maybe before that point. But I'm wondering, though, if it preserved him. Well, like, where Will died getting Gemma out, maybe he was just a corpse being kept alive by this thing. And if this thing entered Ward before he clinically died, maybe it would be able to repair his body or at least keep him alive. I don't know. I just feel like there's one or two different ways you could read this, I think. Like, it's keeping Ward alive or it is literally using him as a human sock puppet, which would imply that he is dead. So once this thing leaves Ward, Ward dissipates with it as well, which I doubt will be the case. I feel like they'll find some way to recover or he'll survive it. And then
if this was the CW, that would happen. Ward's story is, if we're talking being serious.
Alter of Hydra and just had an entire spiritual epiphany, apparently, where he's like, I'm this cog in the grand wheel of destiny. Life has purpose and meaning for me, and everything that I had done up to this point was just petty bullshit. Even my revenge. Oh, but now I have clarity. Like, he literally just on a dime. I'm curious about that. I kind of wish that would have been explored a little bit more, but we just walked right past that. Some interesting stuff to play around right there with that, with Ward, you know, realizing his insignificance and such. But I feel like that would have been a little more impactful if he had met the thing first, or if it just wasn't this ruin, because the ruin itself doesn't mean anything. I don't know. I thought that was a little weird. And then he tried to use that to try to goad Coulson. Who knows? Maybe he doesn't even believe that. Maybe he was just trying to, like, strike a conversation with Coulson and get in his head in some roundabout way, which wouldn't be unfamiliar to Ward either. But man, the strategic approach that the team took to trying to take the castle, divide and conquer, make sure that they didn't leave anybody out, trying to get the Inhumans out, trying to get Simmons out, trying to get Phil and Coulson out, while also trying to take care of Hydra while they're there. The way they broke that down and compartmentalized all that was really, really well done. And I love the whole team dynamic a bit of it. And then even on her own, when everything happened, Gemma was able to kind of take care, her like survivability into her own hands with that shiv she had hidden in her shoe, snapped her cuffs, took off, then she let out Andrew, you know, a bit of self-preservation for them both, but then kind of neutralized one of their other targets, which she wasn't in on the plan, obviously, like, because she was one of the hostages they were trying to get back, so she wouldn't have known what everybody else was trying to do. But obviously she didn't know in the moment or think in the moment that by doing that it would have led to those Inhumans' demise. You know, he did protect her, but he did what he does, and he found all those sleeping Inhumans and killed them all, so they weren't able to save any of them, which is, it's just a shitty, it's just a really shitty situation. But now he's in the wind as well, so not only do we have a possessed Ward who is now back on Earth with this thing, whatever this Inhuman is, and it's not even really, it's just like a slug or an ooze or something of the sort. I'm not exactly sure. I mean, like, we see it like wiggling through his skull as well, and it was like noodling out of Will's body. So I'm assuming it's some kind of slug-like parasite. Whatever this humanoid was is no longer as such. When this person became an Inhuman, they became whatever this is. And I wonder how much of that original form even still exists, or if it relies solely on the forms of others that it's able to corrupt and absorb or whatever. And I wonder if it could split or bud. Like, if it is like worm-like or parasite-like, can it kind of create a hive of hosts? That would be terrifying. They were trying to make this thing an army. Like, could it have potentially, had it made contact with these Inhumans that they were collecting, could it have, in theory, butted itself and collectively controlled them all?
Yep. That's exactly what happens.
Like, what does this thing want? What is its goal? It destroyed the civilization, which is insane. Like, what does it do? What is its purpose? Coulson's gone through a whole little thing here, and though he had this moment, you know, he didn't pull back from his revenge. He tried to get it. It's just, unfortunately, Ward found another way to survive all of this. Not even found a way, just a way happened upon Ward. I mean, Fitz, well, I mean, we resolved the Will thing there. You know, she doesn't have to pick or choose. She doesn't have to feel conflicted about her feelings anymore. Will's fucking dead. His body is a charred piece of ash just left behind on that. Which sucks, man, because he never got to come home. That's so heartbreaking. Flip side of it, there's no one standing between those two now. But obviously there's going to be a mourning period. It's not going to be that easy going back to good old happy Fitzsimmons, but obstacles out of the way. Not to be so cynical or fucked up about it, but it's the honest truth of it. It's just so bad. Will was just in the worst. He had the worst deck of cards dealt his way, man. But yeah, that look on Gemma's face when she looked in, like hoping to see him. It's gotta suck though for one, for Fitz, for knowing one, he steps out and she's obviously looking for Will. So it's just, there's this conflict of like, which one is she going to choose in the end? Because that's that conversation that they've been avoiding having the entire time is, what does this mean if they were able to get him back? Like, what does that mean for them? What does that mean for them? And what do you do? Now there's going to be no answer to that question really at all. And then just the pain that rushed through both of them in that moment. Because obviously, regardless of the situation, he tried and failed, so there's going to be a level of guilt that he feels because he feels like he's let her down. It's just such a shitty situation. It's one of those situations where you win, but you still kind of lose, you know? I don't know. But all of our people came back home, and that's something good we got out of that, at least. Anyway, another fantastic episode.
Any thoughts on that, David?
You can really tell he's been doing this for a long time, man. Like, the fact that he could just be able to figure out, like, what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, he just keeps doing that with his show. It's so funny. But, yeah, I mean, I always like his breakdowns, not just in the Shield, but in all of his other videos. But, yeah, no, he nailed it.
No, he definitely has some good taste, that's for sure, and is able to really break things down really nicely. I've always enjoyed that about his videos, for sure. Let me go ahead and get to some initial reactions from the Reddits when it aired all those years ago. Holy shit, Coulson, that was fucking brutal. Also, Brett Dalton now plays a zombie alien. Ward has come a long way since episode one. Zombie Ward has risen. What is warred may never die. That's pretty funny. Oh, gosh. Now I can stop. Now I can't stop imagining a scary inhuman of death playing in the sand, making a giant sand octopus. Okay. Also, can we point out Mac calling the Secret Warriors Power Rangers? Oh, God. Leo Fitz, the only man in history to get to kill his crush's undead boyfriend on the other side of the universe, I assume. God, I'll be damned. Tatooine is my new favorite quote from this show. Coulson got the best one-liner, but Hunter gets the best overall lines. I'll probably run. Or waves, you're welcome. Oh my god. That scene where everyone is celebrating and Fitz and Simmons are crying sums up Marvel's treatment of the characters perfectly. Oh boy. Are we not gonna talk about how that was the longest minute ever? I could have taken a shit in this he took to get back to the bar.
For real though. I think the minute thing is like a little nitpick right there. Like they should have just made it, 3 minutes or something. That they could have kept the portal open or something.
Oh my god, that took me out. I'm sorry. That was, oh shit, literally. Damn it, Coulson, why would you just ditch your hand like that? That shit's expensive, man. Yeah, he didn't like it anyway. I think I didn't even touch on that, but clearly he leaves it behind just to give himself a little bit of a degree of separation from, like, did I really do that? I'll leave my hand here and just kind of like wash my hands clean of it, obviously. But also, he didn't really like it, really. And they're going to keep playing with that until he finds one that he's like okay with. That was so funny. Ward got his wish. He is special, destined now to be a huge part of something big. Well, I guess when you look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
That stare on Coulson's face was fucking dark. May Andrew killed all those defenseless inhumans. Simmons, I fucked up.
Yeah, that was I didn't point it out, but I like that camera pointed at her when they revealed that.
Yeah, and she's going to bear responsibility. I think that I remember there's a scene in the upcoming episodes where this is the great thing about this show is that when characters are responsible for things, it isn't just like, they're not off the hook for it.
Mm-hmm.
And the characters they kind of go out of their way to like call themselves out for when they mess up. And that's going to be a thing in the coming episodes in season 3B when we get to that point. Okay. So let's see here. I love reflecting on an episode after it's finished. I'm thinking about all the little signs that Will was really it. When asked how long he's been on the planet, didn't he say something like, feels like forever because it has been there for thousands of years? How quickly he killed those Hydra guards? Anyone else spot anything? Somebody else responded. On the live discussion thread, someone pointed out that he had a strange and sort of unaffected reaction when Fitz explained that Hydra was planning on bringing it back. Also, it/Will didn't ask about Simmons.
That's right.
Yeah, he not wants to ask about her. I think it was all Fitz that like just kept bringing her up, and that's about it. Although
that's a good one.
He never brought up Simmons, but he did recognize Fitz as soon as he saw him. So,
that's not the thing. I think the point of like. Would it, if it was like 100% Will, right? Yeah, he knows it's Fitz, but like, wouldn't he want to know how is Simmons How is she doing? Is she okay? How has she been? Like, at no point is that ever brought up. And yes, Fitz talks about Simmons mentions this, Simmons mentions that, but Will never asks, how is she doing? Mm-hmm. Is she okay? Where is she?
He should have at least asked, like, how are you two?
If anything, that never gets brought up.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the real Will would have, as soon as he could. And it sounds ridiculous, but there were a few moments where his eyes and expression were just strangely unsettling. And the smell. Fitz said he wasn't expecting the smell. The rotting flesh on Will's leg.
Mm.
That's the other thing, too, because if you think back to 4,722 hours, I'm sure there's a smell of some kind.
I don't think she...
I guess they must have found a way to bathe because, she bathes herself in the puddle of water that she finds. So it's like, but Simmons never mentioned any smell.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Also, we never really brought it up, but that actor, the guy who plays Will, like, he did a really good job. Like,
he did, despite apparently issues happening behind the scenes. But
no, yeah,
it doesn't come. That's why. That's why when I heard that there was some kind of problem happening with the actor Dylan Casey, I was like, what? You don't get that at all when you watch the episode.
Mm-hmm. But like, just the switch between like the Will character to this Hydra creature, like it's really interesting because he does enough, to keep you guessing like what's going on. But he also, you know, is putting in enough to make you believe that this is still Will. It could also just be us too being like, I hope this is Will.
Yeah, for sure. Fucking everything I could have hoped for. Will is dead. Core team survives, and Ward got a huge upgrade. Also, Lash is out and about. Can't believe this is only half a season. Well, this felt like a season finale.
Mm-hmm.
It really did. I think oversell that when it came to us hitting into it. Okay, so let's go ahead and go over to Erica Goldman on IGN. The S.H.I.E.L.D. mid-season finale definitely was an eventful one. Though, like some other episodes earlier this season, at times it felt a bit too busy, with some plot points feeling less well-served than others, and as they should have been held for longer, he says. But let's get out of the way that, hey, I got what I wanted. Last week, I wrote that it was really time for Ward to die. And after all that had occurred, and here we got it. At first, it seemed he'd somehow weasel his way out as he convinced Coulson to spare him to find Fitz. But at the end, Coulson got his revenge, and in a decidedly nasty way, using his robot hand to crush Ward's chest. That's a really nice touch, too. It's not just like the decision to kill him, but how you do it. It reminds me of Dementis in Furiosa when he tells her, do you have it within you to make it epic?
Mm.
She did, and so did Coulson. So that was a nice, memorable one at that. A broken heart for a broken heart, which was nicely fitting. That's true. That's true. A broken heart for a broken heart. As satisfying as that was, it did telegraph an obvious twist at the end as Ward's body became inhabited by the evil entity Hydra worships. Even before the episode aired, some of IGN's own Terry Schwartz included had speculated about this scenario. And once we learned that about what's happened to Will, you could see the ending coming a mile away. It's a bit of a cheat. It keeps Ward / Brett Dalton's physically on the show, even as Grant Ward dies. But we'll see how it'll play out in the spring run of the show. Dalton's been great as Ward, really embracing the character's dark and broken psyche, but I just hope the producers don't keep him on the show over and over simply to keep him on when this storyline is over at the end of the season. It's over. Let me ask you this, David. Should they have brought him back? We do have him get brought back in the framework, and that was a great addition. Do you think they should have brought him back for the time traveling series finale season?
No.
Or would that have been too much?
It would have been too much, but then also too, it's like I feel that that is just too awkward. Well, season finale, though. He would have been far too young. Would he would even be born yet?
To be clear, I didn't mean to say the season finale. I mean the final season.
Oh, in general.
Ward have been brought back to be the main villain in the final season. I guess that was my question.
Oh, main villain? No. But yeah, that's just kind of rehashing it. And basically that's what the one other guy basically was, you know, someone who sort of embraces his evil side and tries to take over the world, or like, you know, tries to gain more power. That's basically Ward, what Ward would have been. And yeah. I think it just would have been too much.
Yeah. I understand that. Okay, as far as twists go, the Will one earlier was actually the more successful one, as learning he had already died back after spending so much time with him and Fitz bonding packed a punch and led to a big emotional moment. By the way, that's the thing about Fitz, and we didn't even bring it up, but like, this really does show you what a kind and good person he is, because not just going to the lengths of jumping through the portal again, going to an uninhabited planet to bring back his love interest's boyfriend, which is genuinely how warm he was with Will. He wasn't treating Will like this challenger or this stranger. He was treating Will like a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really nice to see. And the zombie Will was entertaining that, mostly because I think he could see, and he knew through Gemma's memories, that he was someone to keep alive, because he was going to be very, very valuable to him in his escape through the planet. So it was going nice for a while there. So that also helps as far as the machinations of, as a viewer, and you watching this on TV, it throws you off the scent a little bit. It does too. I mean, all the way throughout, it's like, well, they're getting along fine, although I guess in that of itself, that may be a bit of a clue too. Who knows? But it's just a nice little bit of character stuff that was happening there. As always, awesome work by Elizabeth Henstridge here. On the downside, the material with Andrew didn't really land and felt like it should have been part of another episode. Simmons' decision to let him out didn't feel earned, as she hid and heard him tearing apart those Hydra agents. It felt like the idea was she knew she was making a deal with the devil and decided it was needed, but that wasn't conveyed. And I think it may have been, but maybe not as good as it could have been. And finding out he killed all the other Inhuman captives was a big moment, but kind of existed in a vacuum. Simmons' reaction showed she understood her role in that happening, but that was then overshadowed by Fitz's return. Well, I mean,
I don't think it was overshadowed.
22 episodes in a season. 22 episodes. We're going to get to it. No, I think that's like a thing.
No, but I mean, either way, though, like, I don't think it was overshadowed. You know, priorities. There's nothing for her to do. It's like it happened. She has to move on, prioritize what's happening in the moment, which is to hopefully get Fitz and Coulson out. And then that's about it. So like you said, too. It's like we have other episodes to bring it back up.
Yeah, this was episode 10. Well, it's like maybe if you're arguing that it is a season finale, but it feels that way, but it also is a mid-season finale. This was episode 10 of 22. Mm-hmm. There are 12 episodes to go. That's a lot of time. That's a whole other season, really. It was a great moment to see Mac really take charge here and how he was willing and able to make a hard call when the safety of the world was weighed against saving Coulson and Fitz, even as he stayed behind with Daisy and willing to sacrifice himself if need be. Some bullet points, shall we? This episode also had some very funny lines interjected throughout, including Mac calling the Secret Warriors Power Rangers and May's deadpan, I'm not, response to Lincoln's speech about understanding that everyone was freaking out and feeling out of their depth. Oh, and I loved Coulson's Tatooine when he saw the twin moons. Yeah, yeah, Tatooine had twin sons. We all still got it. Probably not good for how well they've sold Daisy and Lincoln as a couple, when they kissed, I went, oh yeah, I guess that's happening.
Yeah, I get
that. I will accept as a critique. That, mm-hmm. And it's also, I mean, the rest of the group there didn't really react or respond that well. I mean, yeah, that's happening. Well, it felt like they could, like they did, or they overdid Coulson's feelings for Roz to some extent, given how briefly they were together. I did feel their strong attraction to each other was clear, which isn't the case with Daisy and Lincoln. Joey melting his bullets was cool. Interesting reveal that there definitely was a civilization on Maveth at one point, along with a shrine to whatever it is that's now inhabiting Ward's corpse. We keep hearing whatever this thing is referred to as Death, which instantly makes Marvel fans think about the character Death Thanos loves and worships in the comics. It seems very unlikely that that's being set up here so directly. Yeah, no, that's not. Feige was never going to do that anyway, so that's not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to Oliver Sava on the AV. Oh, no. Not Oliver Sava. It's the same outlet, AV Club, but this is somebody else for the first time. Kevin Johnson, I guess, filling in for Oliver. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s fall finale brings all of its various season developments to a head. So this is a new person. Let's see how this goes. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. may have had its flaws, but managed to mostly overcome them by presenting a number of various complications, and by gradually doling them out over the course of the season. Some of those complications, like Simmons on the planet, worked better than others, like Coulson on the Ward Warpath, but the overall season, well, half season, focused primarily on bringing tension and action at every moment it could, sometimes to its detriment. At the very least, the show is exciting now, no longer bogged down by its initial slow beginning. Its need to rely so heavily on the Marvel film universe or storylines that feel more like they're circling the wagons. But before I get to the nitty-gritty of this review, holy crap, how great are Fitz and Simmons this season? Both actors have been given more aggressive and juicier material to work with, and Ian DeCastaker and Elizabeth Henstridge have been knocking it out of the park every time. There's something about Fitz taking that huge gamble, reaching for Ward's gun in the cold open, that made me so proud of him. He really had no chance, but he went for it regardless, showing a character who's no longer intimidated by Ward. Simmons, meanwhile, showcases the raw survival skills she developed when she was on that other world, escaping her cuffs with a sharp stick, and even ballsier, letting Andrew/Lash loose to avoid being recaptured. Like Fitz's gamble, it was bold, but Simmons knows that she's needed his help. Or, at the very least, Lash causing havoc would be enough of a distraction for her to escape. The rest of the episode more or less just builds upon what was established before and kind of just runs through the motions, which is usually the death knell for agents, but the energy, tight script, and relatively strong direction keeps the episode cooking. Sava, in his previous reviews, has often criticized the show with its bland direction, and while I'm not as harsh on that aspect as he is, I do think Maveth is particularly good-looking for the show, with clear blocking of the action sequences and strong aesthetic that feels more comic book-y. And maybe it's me, but this episode feels the most Marvel of the entire show so far, with what three types of Inhumans infiltrating the castle: Daisy, the experienced; Lincoln, the intermediate; and Joey, the novice, whose surprise at successfully saving Daisy from gunshots was adorable, as well as all the crazy stuff that was what was happening on the planet. I'm not sure what made me guess that the creature had possessed Will before Fitz found him. I think it was the fact that the episode played coy with his leg injury, but it's a heck of a twist. More importantly, it allows the show to address the conflict of potential love triangle between Will, Fitz, and Simmons without actually having to, you know, dedicate several episodes in the second half of the season to do it. That kind of melodrama, no offense, is way outside this show's purview. But Fitz and Simmons showcase at some point, I'm sorry, both Fitz and Simmons showcase at some level the struggle that will arise if and when Will comes back. But again, both actors zero in on the importance of saving the guy, because goddammit, they're inherently good people. The Coulson/Ward conflict is less engaging, primarily because it kind of feels like agents went out of its way to turn an antagonist who was hated by all, into an antagonist who was despised by one single person. It tried to make it super personal, but Roslyn was only killed in the episode prior, so it was never given a chance to build over the course of the season. I'll argue against that personally. I'll interject myself. I think the buildup was the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
I think at this point, Ward had really outworn his welcome because of the number of bodies that he was piling up. So that's where I will interject with this person's review. Continuing back down to what he was saying, there are some other elements that the episode did as best it could. Mac taking full command as acting director was badass, although he was always a commanding presence, so I'm not sure why the show would have felt this would have been an issue. Okay. May quietly observing the carnage that Lash left behind was brutal stuff, smartly declining to belabor the dramatic point. He's in the wind, and the show can always, and will most likely, come back to it. The actual infiltration was kind of by the numbers, and a bit lazy, too. For all the talk about how heavily armed Hydra was, they managed to slip in relatively easily. But S.H.I.E.L.D., at this point, is just focused on being as entertaining as possible. And it worked for me. Stray observations. Kevin Johnson here, that's the person whose review we've been reading, filling in for Oliver Sava, who had to take care of a personal issue. I will readily admit that I enjoy Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I don't normally delve too much into analyzing it. So this is a first for me, and I hope I did it justice. I kind of just found it weird that Ward was allowing Fitz and Will to just chatter on by themselves while marching. I guess that hubris was on Ward's part, but still, there should have been a soldier right on them or something. Speaking of Ward, I don't know what to think of his quasi-religious conversation speech. He was while being held captive by Coulson. It seemed like bullshit more than sincerity, but Coulson shot him in the arm, which was great. I think this was supposed to foreshadow the reborn Ward in the form of a creature-possessed zombie, but really, there was no need for that. Update. Not sure where the name Clarkson comes from. Went ahead and fixed those errors. I guess he made an error. I don't know. Anyway, there we are. That's the episode for this week. Do we have anything else to go over this week, David?
No. I mean, I think we said everything we need to say. Really fun episode. Great, you know, mid-season finale. Glad we get to see the end of Ward. And yeah.
For now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, Ward is brought back 2 more times, literally at the end of this episode as Hive, and then we'll see him again in the framework. But to be fair, which is funny because the same thing happens to Coulson. So Coulson dies in season 5. He comes back as Sarge, which is also the same thing. He comes back as an evil version of himself, and then he comes back as a robot version of himself. But to the show's credit, where others would seek to discredit the impact of killing Coulson and Ward, while Clark Gregg and Brett Dalton come back to play different versions of the characters, the initial deaths, as what we saw with Ward here, and when we will see Coulson die, or his end technically be at the end of season 5, those deaths stuck. They were not undone. They legitimately died and were not brought back, regardless of whether or not we saw them as other versions wearing their faces in the future. So, just to point that out there. Anyway, thank you so much for watching and tuning in. We will be back next time with episode 11, where we will see the introduction of a fan favorite character, which... cannot believe it took this long to get to. Anyway, that's our show this week. We'll catch you next time, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.